Well, one thing I would go back to as a graduate student, that'd be more hair, but some of the stuff I wouldn't want to go back to. But anyway, I'll do my best to stand in for Whitney and share some of her data. Whitney's project was Celiac disease, looking at resistance to Rizoc and Pythium. It goes back to some work by Ray Kennett a few years ago, who did a similar study, and we wanted to redo that, make sure that Ray's data were correct, and that we didn't do something wrong in that study. And the actual genetic material goes back to my predecessor, Alvin Niles, and his colleague Mike Schuster, who worked in the 70s and 80s on developing high tanning, or lines with increased tanning concentration. And we identified along the way that those populations that they developed had some resistance to bacterial blight. And so when Ray came along a few years ago, we were going to work on Celiac disease with Jim Starr, we decided to go back to those populations, thinking that, well, if there was some undetected or unplanned resistance to bacterial blight, there might be some other resistance to other diseases that was in those populations, perhaps conferred by tannins, perhaps not, but they have a pretty varied genetic background, so it was a good population to work with. The two diseases, the pathogens that Whitney and Ray worked with was Rizoc selenii and Pythium ultimum. All of us know the symptoms of seedling disease in cotton is the damping off, the pre- and post-emergence seed rot, seedling root rot, delayed growth, stunning, hypocotyl lesions. We know that it's most severe under cool, wet conditions, so it's most severe in the northern part of the cotton belt. That there is some yield loss to seedling disease, estimated to be about 3% yield loss, or about $170 million a year. Means control has been fungicides, been no genetic control, and throughout my career, this is the typical way we've controlled seedling diseases, always been with chemicals. Very rarely did you see any work where anyone was looking for genetic resistance to seedling disease. Crop rotations help some, selection of planting dates to avoid environmental conditions conducive to the diseases are also useful. So we went in, and from Ray's work, we pulled six lines. He looked at several, and from his work, we pulled six lines, and we added one cultivar, Tamcott Luxor, to the Rizoc work. We used six experimental lines in the Pythium, and we were looking at using individual plants selection as a tool for identifying resistance or selecting for resistance. Obviously, we didn't make any crosses, so we were making assumptions that within pure lines selected for X, there's a lot of variability for Y and for other characters within those so-called pure lines. One outcome from this work could be the production of some germplasm that we may or may not release here in the next couple of years that show increased resistance to Rizoc and Pythium. And of course, we're looking at the methodology of determining whether or not single plant selection could be effective in this area. So we took the six high tannin lines in Luxor, and what we did, cycle zero was the unselected material. Cycle one, that means we challenged X number of plants, a couple hundred plants of each of those lines. We had previously determined, Whitney and Ray had previously determined what the LD, we were shooting for the LD90, but what the LD that, or the dosage that we were going to use. We applied that challenge to the plants. We selected survivors. We grew those out to maturity, collected seed off of them, planted those again, and challenged them again with that rate of inoculum, and selected the cycle two. grew those out in the greenhouse and collected seed off of those. So we had seed of cycle one, cycle zero, cycle one, cycle two, and these slides and this work that we're reporting today is the evaluation of those three cycles. The each plant that you select, you don't end up obviously with just one plant out of a challenge in a cycle. So we kept X number of plants that showed no symptoms, and each of those plants theoretically are going to give rise to an individual line. And so the number of lines that were selected out of the rhizoc material was 22, and there were 15 total lines from the six original lines or families that were selected out of the Pythium work. To evaluate the cycles or to evaluate progress, we took 20 seeds of each strain of those strains, those 22 and 15. We challenged them with the appropriate pathogen. We grew them in these trays here in these lanes. Ray used individual containers called cone-tainers. Whitney, Dr. Starr wanted to use the trays, and so Whitney used trays. Each of these lanes has a known amount of soil and a known amount of inoculum added to the lane. So we had four replications. We did two runs to make sure that the environment didn't, although the environment was a growth chamber, that we didn't do something wrong with the inoculum in for all the reasons we make multiple run experiments multiple times. Three inoculation levels, we had no inoculum, the selection level, and the 2X selection level. So we doubled the amount of pathogen we were putting on. Used a randomized complete block design. We also looked at a disease severity rating, Dr. Starr wanted these data in the of the data that we collected. And here's the examples of Whitney's ratings from zero being essentially no damage. This is some soil lingering here, this discoloration, all the way to six, which was pre or post-emergent stamping off. The disease index rating is just simply an average of the 20 plants, whatever the symptom was of those 20 plants. It's that average. Tolerance in each strain would be the percent improvement in the percentage survival, and resistance would be the percent of emerged seedlings with no disease symptoms at all. And of course, that's what we would look for, and that's what we selected on. There's a couple of things to highlight in the ANOVAs. The families, there was no difference in percent survival, nor disease index rating based on the family. The cycles, C0, Z1, C1, and C2, there were significant differences among the cycles, as we would hope for. There were also some interaction with families and cycles. All families didn't respond the same to the number of cycles as one would expect. Inoculation levels, again, one would expect there to be significant differences there, and there was. And there were several interactions that we won't pay any attention to for purposes of this presentation. This is the ANOVA for the Pythium work. There's a lot of data on these slides, and we're not going to go through those. I want you to pay attention to these gray circles here. The data slides are all set up the same way. In the very top line for any individual high-tanning line, this one, for example, is TAM86N6. This is cycle zero. Here are four lines that came out of the initial screening. So they are cycle one, and here's the four lines that came out of the cycle one, or these are cycle twos. So, and this is line E8. There was only one plant that survived out of the C0, so there was only one family to move forward. This is the percent survival with Pythium, when challenged with Pythium ultimum. And if we look at these gray circles, we see that the C0, we had only, a 1X challenge, we had only 31% survival. With one cycle of selection, we improved survival to 60%. With two cycles of selections, we didn't make much progress with that second cycle. We only improved it up to 67%. If we look at the E8 line, we went from 26% survival in C0 to 45% survival in C1. But in this particular line, we had 98% survival with two cycles of selection. If we look at the 2X rate, we only had 9% survival when there had been no selection or in the C0 or the zero cycle generation. With one cycle of selection, we improved resistance to 22% of the plants and to 30% with two. And in the E8 family, we went from 6.5 to 21% survival to 38% survival. So we made some progress with individual plants. Disease index rating should go down because ones are better than the sixes, and we see that. So the disease index rating simply mimics what we see with the percent survival. We went from 93, there shouldn't be a percentage here, we went from a 93 index down to 77, down to 62 with two, with the E8 from 96 down to 50 with two cycles. With 2X rating, we had a 98 disease index rating, and we dropped that with two cycles to 80%, or to 80. And with E8, we went from 99 down to 95 with one cycle, 82 with two cycles. Here's the RISOC, and again, it's the same setup on the ANOVA. In this particular case, we did find significant differences among families. Cycles obviously should be significant, and they were, and there were significant interactions, and inoculation levels were significant. If we look at those data, here we have three lines where we went through and made the two cycles of selection. Plus, in this case, with the RISOC, we have Luxor. You'll have to forgive me. I'm trying to recover from a cold. So, again, looking at the gray circles with the C0, and this is average of all three of these families and lines within families. And so with C0, we had 10% survival under the 1X selection rate. We improved it by 25% up to about 35% with one cycle. And we didn't improve it at all with the second cycle as an average across all the families. Looking at Luxor, which Luxor comes out of the old MAR program, Dr. Bird Dr. Elzik and Dr. Thaxton, they paid a lot of attention to Celan diseases in their selection process in their field work did a lot of what we might call somewhat indirect selections because they based it on survival of plants and et cetera, without going through the MAR program. There are several of you in here who know more, a whole lot more about that than I do. The MAR material and the varieties, the Tamcott varieties, did show some level of resistance to Celan diseases. And so instead of from 10%, we had 25% survival in the C0 and up to 72% survival in Luxor after only two cycles of selection. With a 2X rating, we went from essentially killing everything to about 10% survival after two cycles. And same way with Luxor, we killed everything with a 2X rating in C0, and we bumped it up to about 20% survival with one or two cycles of selections. We look at the disease index rating. We see the same thing, just a different way of expressing it. The DIR went from 97 down to 77 across these three families, and from 78 down to 40 in Luxor. We went from 99 down to 96, and 100 down to 94 here. So we think that this has merit to improve Celan disease resistance in upland cotton, that we'll probably find resistance across a lot of material if we look for it. And we think it would be a way to reduce the pesticide load in the environment. And my apologies for running a little bit over. And if Margaret says we do, I'll take a question. We have time, I'll take a question.
understand what your 1X and 2X selection.
What are the 1X and 2X? When we did our original challenge of the material to go, we took the C0 or cycle 0, unselected plants. We had predetermined the amount of inoculum we were going to put on, Pithium or Rhizoc. That was a 1X rate. And so then to evaluate it, we simply, when we get down after making all our selections and having three populations for each family, we simply challenged it with the 1X rate, and then we doubled that for a hotter challenge.
So what is the X based on? I didn't quite understand. Inoculum density?
That sounds good, inoculum density. It's the amount of inoculum we put on. You know more about what the proper way to say that than I do. I can't tell you the milliliters per liter or whatever else. But that's what it is. It's inoculum density.
I guess if you were asking, if you counted the number of spores.
It was based. I'm going to defer to Dr. Starr if he was here. Dr. Starr is not here. Dr. Starr is the plant pathologist, and I assure you it was done correctly if Dr. Starr did it. All right, thank you.